You're listening to Cloudcast Weekly, a podcast by SearchCloudProvider.com. I'm Jessica Scarpatti, site editor, and Gina Narcissi is here to slow jam the news.
Thanks, Jessica. It's good to be back after a couple weeks off.
Right. So, yeah, we were off a couple weeks due to vacations and stuff. So we're going to do kind of a monthly wrap-up. So, Gina, why don't you start with your news story today about sort of the cloud opportunity, but service providers not really being sure?
Right. So my story this week was about, you know, as cloud services just are everywhere at this point, a lot of traditional service providers, IT outsources, and just even telcos, they know that they really have to get into the cloud, or they'll just start losing customers. They just are really unsure of how to get there at this point. They're not sure where to begin. And it's also, you know, it's a little intimidating for them. So the story was about traditional service providers turning to cloud providers to actually help them jumpstart their cloud business. I spoke with one platform as a service provider who was working with some traditional, different kinds of traditional service providers to sort of help them get there. One of them was using their enterprise cloud platform to sort of just to add cloud services to their portfolio, and they do managed services and typical IT outsourcing. And then we also talked about, you know, different platforms that service providers should, you know, new ones to the market should be looking at offering. An infrastructure as a service is the easiest, and it's the most natural because, you know, a lot of these providers already have data centers, and it's very similar to the hosting business. And so to kind of just get started, it's something that they'd probably be most comfortable with. And we also talked about Verizon actually partnering with TerraMark for their cloud services. And so this is obviously something that's happening in the industry. Providers know that maybe they can't do it themselves, so they're going to turn to, you know, a more established player in this market to help them get into cloud services.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that Fujitsu was one of the providers here that was sort of partnering up with a cloud provider. Because, I mean, they have a big, they're obviously a huge company. Yes. I assume that this would be, like, smaller providers, MSPs, that kind of crowd.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing that was interesting about them is they actually, they knew they wanted to get into cloud. So instead of just, you know, turning to somebody else and, you know, just not exactly knowing at all where to start, they actually built their own data centers before they even partnered with anybody else. And they just knew, all right, this is what it's going to be for. And then, you know, they decided to seek outside resources, which is a common enough thing. Actually, one of the analysts I talked to mentioned that service providers should actually look within their own portfolios and look at their own resources before they reach out, because, you know, just like infrastructure as a service might be a nice natural entry point into the cloud, they might already have these resources in existence.
So I understand you, there was actually a lot of stuff that didn't make it into the story. So what are the leftovers?
Right. I have a lot of good leftovers, actually. just talking about, you know, the cloud opportunity. Obviously, some of the analysts could go on for days, and I definitely had some good conversations that I'm working on a follow-up story to this, and it's going to be about how, you know, actually some people have actually failed in the cloud, and some people have actually stopped their cloud offerings and kind of just quietly moved out of the cloud market.
Awkward.
Yeah. So the story is going to be about, like, basically how not to let this happen to you, and how you can really, again, like, look at your own resources, look at what you might be good at. Maybe there's a vertical that would be perfect for you, or an industry you could definitely reach out to start with, to sort of just differentiate yourself. I mean, cloud is everywhere. So if you want to get into it, you want to do it well.
Mm-hmm. So you had this story also a few weeks ago about Cisco backing Citrix Cloud Stack project, their open source project. And so they've been a contributor to OpenStack, kind of the rival. So what happened there?
So basically, a lot of news came out a couple weeks ago about Cisco expanding their partnership with Citrix. So I was curious exactly what this meant, you know, for CloudStack, since Cisco is a big contributor to OpenStack, obviously. And they did mention in the partnership that there would be some cloud orchestration pieces. So basically, Cisco is not going to, you know, stop contributing to OpenStack in any way. In fact, a lot of the analysts felt like they really didn't have any reason to support one open source project over another. And actually, it would be in their best interest to kind of, you know, keep it open and see how each one progresses. So there is going to be some cloud orchestration between Cisco and Citrix, but exactly, you know, how it's going to be, you know, implemented into CloudStack is not exactly clear at this point, but you know, it will be beneficial to cloud providers that are involved with CloudStack, obviously, because they'll have access to Cisco's technology, and it could potentially help to mature CloudStack, which has been, you know, sort of a concern for some cloud providers, and just in the industry, it's been talked about that maybe CloudStack perhaps isn't as mature as OpenStack, and you know, this could actually, you know, just putting Cisco's name on it could potentially, you know, even help it gain more customers. So still a little up in the air what the plans are exactly, but the bottom line here is Cisco is still going to contribute to both.
So Gina, you had one last story you wanted to promote. Tell us a little bit about it.
So this story was from a couple weeks ago, and I wrote it about cloud storage providers in particular, partnering with telcos for cloud adoption. And the announcement was IBM had entered into a partnership with AT&T to provide enterprises with, you know, AT&T's network connectivity and IBM's cloud storage services, which is their Smart Cloud and Enterprise Plus platform. And I talked a little bit about that partnership and also just the general idea that cloud providers, you know, they usually do have to work with service providers in a way. Sometimes it's just on like a case-by-case basis, but, you know, sometimes obviously the internet's not good enough. So partnering with these service providers can give customers that reliability they're looking for. And so it could actually potentially help cloud adoption. And that's what some of the analysts I spoke to were talking about, which of course ties into my story from this week.
So we were just talking about before we started recording about how a lot of these stories are about partnerships. So it seems like that's going to be kind of an important thing for a lot of providers.
Definitely. It seems like a trend, and probably because this market is still so new, you know, nobody has the tools to go about it alone, and they just need to work with others. And, you know, service providers obviously bring something really different to the table than, say, like a cloud storage provider. And so everyone's trying to find their little niche in this market, I feel, but also working together can just sort of bring the best of both those worlds. And I think the most important thing is showing enterprises that the cloud can be an option for them.
Yeah, because, I mean, no one's an expert, or few companies are an expert right in everything. So, I mean, it seems like they're all trying to round out their portfolios with kind of the least pain involved.
Of course, yeah. You know, maybe if you're not perfect at something, turn to somebody who is and work with them that way. And it's also a lot more cost effective in a lot of different cases as well.
Gina, thank you for doing this marathon podcast with me. We always like having you here.
Thank you.
Cloud computing is shaking up a lot more than IT architectures and billing models. It's also affecting the careers of service provider IT professionals. Depending on how cynical you are, you might see this as a nice opportunity to advance your career and build a new skill set. Or you might be rolling your eyes as you hear this, insisting that it's all hype. You've been through this before. Well, unless you're retiring tomorrow, we hope you're not in the latter group. Because it's not just about learning cloud computing skills, although those are important too. A big part of what's changing is that IT silos, even in service provider IT, are crumbling, according to Dina Gerdeman, who wrote a two-part feature on this for us. Jared Ray, founder and CEO of Cloud Provider Tier 3, says that these days, his formerly separate operations and app dev teams now operate as one unit, and they're cross-training each other. At HP's cloud division, code is the new resume, Brian Aker of HP says the company is looking for candidates to develop some open source projects before they come in, so managers can assess their skills. But here's the good news. It's not too late to start working on your skills because many people are in the same bind. And cloud providers are hungry for cloud-savvy engineers, admins, and developers. And hey, some cloud providers like Tier 3 are willing to just put new employees through classes for the first few months. To find out more about how cloud computing is affecting service provider IT jobs, check out Dina's article, The Need for Cloud Computing Skills Altering Service Provider IT Jobs. Virtual machine backups. A lot of reasons not to do them. Time, resources, storage, power consumption, bandwidth. But here are two very good reasons to become a bit more disciplined about VM backups. The first is fairly obvious. Ensuring SLA is getting customers back online quickly, inspiring customer confidence. We know you know this. But the second reason may have some more tangible benefits. Providers can use this newfound reliability and availability to launch more and more profitable advanced services. One of our regular contributors, Heather Clancy, offers three best practices for getting there. One, build proper redundancy into your infrastructure. That includes not just redundant servers and processors, but also the storage area network should be replicated across the entire infrastructure. Second best practice, figure out what customers need, bare metal restores or data archiving. That is, some customers might just be using the cloud to do some tests and dev and might not need all the data to be restored. While maybe you have another customer running production apps and they need both the VMs recovered as well as the related data for those applications. And quickly. The third best practice is building in geographic redundancy. So while the need for fast recovery means that local access to backup snapshots should be a given for every cloud provider, true redundancy requires that the files also be stored in a secondary location. To get more in-depth advice about these best practices, check out Heather's article, Best Practices for VM Backups, A Cloud Provider Perspective. Also, we have this great slideshow from our assistant editor, Kara Dayer-Menjian. It's about the top 10 cloud services that enterprise and SMBs want to buy from providers. Definitely worth checking out. This was born out of a survey that TechTarget did, actually. They surveyed about 1,500 IT professionals about their opinions on cloud services and their plans for using them. So there was a subset of 569 IT professionals who said they're planning to adopt public cloud services in the next 6 months. And they clearly indicated that it's not just about test and dev anymore. So check out the slideshow. It's on the homepage. There's no reason to miss it. And see if you can figure out where your services place in this top 10. We have so many more articles that I would love to go over for you guys, but in the interest of time, I'm just going to preview one last one. This was a story that I did shortly after Interop New York, but it's something that's kind of been coming up for a while. Talking to cloud providers over the past year, something that just has come up time and time again is that they don't feel the vendors are really serving them properly. It's not that the vendors aren't creating sophisticated, great cloud products. Providers say it's just not carrier class. They're trying to sell them enterprise-grade products. So when Jeff Deacon, Terramark's chief cloud strategist, got up in front of a packed room of carriers at Interop's Cloud Carrier Forum and said that providers will never be competitive in the long run if they're not developing a lot of the intellectual properties themselves, simply because there are no commercial tools available today to do it. That's when I realized it was time to put pen to paper on this one, or fingers to keyboard. It's funny, this was kind of an anecdotal issue for me, and I thought maybe I'm just talking to a select group of cloud providers. But then I spoke to our resident cloud expert, Tom Knoll, president of CIMI Corporation, and he's been surveying carriers for several years. But in the past five, he noticed a trend too, specifically around vendor strategies for monetization, which includes products that support cloud services. So for years, he's been asking carriers to indicate in various areas, including this one, how well vendors are supporting them, either very satisfied, satisfied, neutral, marginally unsatisfied, or unsatisfied. So 5 years ago, that was when things started to change. The majority of the responses dipped below neutral. And what's been happening every year is that they just continue to get worse. To the point where in May, when he did the last survey, they only had one out of 47 operators rate vendors above neutral in monetization strategies. And the issues aren't just technical, but don't get me wrong, technical stuff is an issue, but it's also about price. I spoke to Jeff Deacon after he gave his keynote address, and he told me that cloud providers are realizing that they can get the same components that their vendors are buying from assembly lines in China. They can just buy it themselves and build that hardware at a fraction of the cost. He says Google and Amazon were the first ones to figure it out, but eventually other providers started following. So while some vendors are guilty of price gouging and others are not developing products for carriers, there's also another reason that service providers just aren't happy. And that has to do specifically with networking. Tom Knoll told us that operators are starting to feel that their vendors are just opportunistic, that they care more about their own financial goals, pleasing shareholders, than they do about solving service provider problems. It just so happens that Juniper Networks recently announced two new carrier class edge routers to its MX series line, and they insist they're not just selling bigger boxes. Juniper has developed a number of software-based features in this, including path computation element, an automated traffic engineering function that can be used in software-defined networking. Be sure to check out the piece, as cloud providers consider build versus buy, many lean toward build, to find out more about what providers and vendors are saying exactly about how grave the problem is. So that's all that we have time for this week. Be sure to check out all the articles we talked about and more at searchcloudprovider.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.